Beloved, there is an image that I saw on Facebook. It is the image that someone had written out, and it says, we can't go back to the old normal because the old normal wasn't working. And then it says, if we go back to the old normal, we've lost the lesson. Fourth thing, let us rise up and be better. We can't go back to the old normal. The old normal wasn't working. If we go back, we've lost the lesson. Let us rise up and be better. It caught me. It arrested me. And it spoke to me. Because when you've been in a life-changing situation, when something's come and shaken your world, it's not easy and it's often not even good to go back to the old normal. And that's the circumstance that we find in the life of the people of God in the time of Isaiah. When the 43rd chapter of Isaiah rises up, that piece of scripture you heard Ted read, I want you to know that Israel recognized they could not go back to the old normal. God was saying to them, I don't want you to. I want you, as Ted said, to go forward. God was saying, I've got something new for you to do. He said it, Isaiah said it like this. Do not remember the former things. Do not even consider the things of old. Through the prophet, God is saying, do not go back to normal. I'm going to do a new thing. Israel, are you paying attention? Now, just in case you don't know this story, let me set it up for you. Israel is in a world of trouble. When we meet them in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, they are 1,500 miles from home in a Babylonian exile, and they are slaves to the Babylonians. God's people, God's chosen, the ones to whom God said, you are the ones I will call out and make a blessing to all of creation. The ones God said, I will be with you forever. Those people have been marched into captivity. Why? Well, if you go back to the very beginning of the book of Isaiah, you'll see why. God has told them for 43 chapters, Israel, you are not living the way I've called you to live. Israel, you are ignoring the widows and the orphans. Israel, you are focused only on what is good for you, and you're listening to the words of leaders who are not following in my way. Israel, you've ignored me and my teachings as if I don't exist, and the only time you come to me is when you want something. Israel, are you paying attention? God says to them, throughout the book of Isaiah, I am tired. I am weary of your arrogant ways. I am weary of your ignoring my call. Israel, I love you. You're mine. I would trade anything for you. I've promised to be with you, but when you turn your back on me, you ignore the purpose for which I formed you, which I created you. Israel, come back to me. Are you paying attention? But Israel does not heed God's word. And by the time we meet them in the 43rd chapter, they have begun to pay attention. Because when you are in circumstances that you clearly can't control, when you don't know what's about to happen next, when it feels like your very life is on the line, when everything you know, when the way you worship, when the way you walk out in the street, when everything you know for Israel was at risk, they began to pay attention. They wanted desperately to be liberated from this captivity. God had their attention. And into this abysmal circumstance, in the 43rd chapter, God steps. And through the words of the prophet, God says to them, I know you've messed up. I know you've sinned. I know you've come up short of the mark. But you are still my people. And I'm willing to start over with you if you'll start over with me. Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Are you paying attention? I'm about to make a way for you. I'm about to set up highways in the desert. I'm about to give you cool water to drink. Israel, I'm here for you. Are you paying attention? Will you follow me? Beloved, when I look around today, some 2,800 years after the time of Isaiah's people, I see some similarities between Isaiah's time and you and me. America, are we paying attention? We who used to move freely, we who used to be unconstrained in our activities, we who used to come to worship not out of habit, but because we desired it, now cannot, and now desire it in a new and a different way. We who used to be only concerned about the health of our families are now glued to the television, thinking and listening to the statistics about health of people we will never meet. You and I, who used to be free to go to work, to play, to worship, to go to the grocery store, to walk around unfettered by masks and gloves, now we are ready to listen. And God, the same God who loved Isaiah's people, God loves us in the same way. And God is saying to us, I'm about to do a new thing, Barrington. I'm about to do a new thing, Community Church. I'm about to do a new thing, America. Are you paying attention? Are you listening? Because just like God said to his people in Isaiah 43, forget the former things. I don't want you, Israel or CCB, to be overtaken or be defeated by this COVID virus. I don't want it to take you down. I don't want you to be mired in depression. I want you to hear my word that I'm about to do a new thing in you and with you and through you. But before that new thing happens, there's some lessons I want to be sure you've learned. America, are we paying attention? Because I believe God wants us to learn some lessons too. I believe God wants us to learn that we are inextricably tied to one another. That what happens halfway around the world can affect us. That what happens to our brothers and sisters who we casually pass by in the street can change our lives on a dime. We are our brothers and sisters keepers. We are tied together. God wants us to learn that we are too much admirers of rugged individualism instead of powerful ties within community. God wants us to learn this lesson because we cannot go back to the old normal. We cannot go back to just being agreed with us or who walk with us. Our new normal is that we have to rise up and do better. And God wants us to learn that we are made, we are created to be generous and kind. Tell me, what happens when you watch the evening news and you see the stories of car manufacturers who are now manufacturing ventilators? What happens when you see the stories of small children who are making signs and holding them up to encourage first responders? What happens when you watch the parade of teachers through communities honking and telling their children they love them? What happens when you watch the titans of the world take a hit to their bottom line so that they can keep hourly folks employed? What happens when you watch mere human beings rise to the challenge and be generous and kind? Something must happen in your chest because it speaks to who we are meant to be. Something must happen inside. It's why we are going to feed the ER department. It's why we've been taking food to members of our churches. It's why we are so delighted when we are generous and kind. God wants us to learn that lesson so we might rise up and be better. And God wants us to learn that our behaviors have created disparities in our world that leave the least and the vulnerable not on the margins, but falling off the cliff. Low-income communities in Chicago, where they're trying to do distance learning, only one in three children has an internet connection at home. That's a disparity. How is it that there are hundreds and thousands of cars lining up at Wrigley Field for food because they have no place else to get it? That's a disparity. How is it that the emergency room, which is the first resource for medical care for some people who are without insurance, is no longer available to them, and so their health needs are going unmet? That's a disparity. And what do we do with the widening gulf between those who have and are not worried and simply waiting for the pandemic to pass and those who don't know if they will pass the night in good health? God wants us to see what our behavior has created. And God wants us to do a new thing. Doesn't want us to be depressed about what is, but God said, I'm doing a new thing. Are you paying attention? And finally, God wants us to learn the lesson that we have power. When you stay at home and stay safe, you save someone else's life. That's your power as an individual. When we as a church community come together and seek to use our funds and the funds you share with us to bless those that are without, that's the power of a community. When we draw hearts in driveways and visit our children who are at home, that's the power of our community. But beloved, we have power beyond the individual, beyond the community. We live in a democratic nation and we have power to vote. We have power to seek out leaders who have heard the word of God that says, love mercy and do justice and walk humbly with your God. We have power to stand up and speak up and offer to the world a position, an understanding that comes from our faith, that a God who says the two best things you can do is love me and love your neighbor. We have power as a community, as a citizenry of this great nation. And God wants us to use that power. God said to Israel, I know you're in a difficult place. And I know how you got there. But I don't want you to focus on that. Not on the things of old. Not on the former things. Focus on me. God says, focus on the new thing that I'm going to do. Do you perceive it? Are you paying attention? We have to learn, beloved. We have to learn so we can rise up and be better. We have to learn. So like the Apostle Paul, we can strive toward the mark of the high calling. We can strive. We can strain. We can lean in to the things God has called us to do. To be salt and light, to be hope, to be a voice of power in our community. That is the similarity I see. Like Isaiah's people, we are in a morass. Like Isaiah's people, we are frightened and want to be liberated from these circumstances. But like Isaiah's people, God comes to us and says, you, my beloved, you, my people, let's together do a new thing, not back to normal, but forward to a better, higher, more generous new normal. Our closing hymn has many, many verses. We're only going to share two. But here's the final verse we're going to sing from God of Grace and God of Glory. The words are, heal your children's warring madness. Bend our pride to your control. Shame our wanton, selfish gladness. Rich in things and poor in soul. This is the line I like. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage for the new thing. Lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Loving God, we are not grateful for COVID-19, but we are grateful for the lessons it will bring us. We are not grateful for the lives that have been lost, and we pray for them. But we are hopeful that you will use their lives not in vain, but to teach us a new way to be. We are anxious to strive toward the way you call us to live. We do not, our God, want to miss the kingdom goal. God of grace and God of glory, pour out your power on your church that we might crown your ancient story and live into it in new and glorious ways, not going back, going forward, rising to a new and a better normal. This is our prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.